Hey, you guys, back once again on another installment of Flickers of Fear, my movie review series. So, if you remember, quite recently, I reviewed the latest movie from Dario Argento, 2022's Dark Glasses. And I think in that review, I talked a little bit about, you know, kind of like how much I loved Dario Argento's early films and sort of, you know, the quality, you know, the decline in quality, like in his movies, like that began like right around the 1990s and continues pretty much unabated to the present day. I don't think that's a very controversial opinion to have. I mean, you know, it's a shame, of course, but, you know, it happens to most artists as they age. You know, he's in his 80s now. And, you know, so it's not just a problem that Dario Argento in particular has. A lot of directors and other artistic people have the same kind of thing happen. So since Suspiria from 1977 is one of my favorite horror movies of all time, and since I'm also, like, a reasonably big fan of the follow-up, Inferno from 1980, nobody was more excited than I was back in the mid-2000s when it started to become clear that Dario Argento was finally going to finish his Three Mothers trilogy after all of this time. Now, the whole mythology surrounding the Three Mothers, which comes from Thomas de Quincey's Suspiria de Profundis, by the way, which is a book of, like, essays and poems and stuff, and the kind of, like, I guess, aesthetic flair of the initial two movies made me really eager to see what a more modern take on the tale would look like, though I will admit that even back then, I knew that I was gonna have to, like, temper my expectations somewhat. Like, I'd already seen The Card Player from 2004, and that movie was not good. So, you know, but I still had high hopes that Argento, like, going back to the Suspiria well, the Witch well, the Three Mothers well, I thought that he was gonna, like, bring back the whole theme and make the thing, like, a kind of like a visual feast, like, in line with the first two movies in the trilogy. So, the third movie, Mother of Tears, only got released into a handful of theaters. I think it was, like, 7 theaters or some ridiculous amount, in at least in the U.S., in 2008. So, I actually had to wait back then until it was released on DVD. I don't think I got it until like 2009. So I ordered a copy and, like, you know, was kind of like impatiently waiting for it to arrive so I could see it. So it finally arrived back in 2009 or whatever. You know, I popped it in the thing and yeah. Well, okay. So, like, at the time, I remember really, really not liking it. And being so disappointed that, I mean, not only did it not really have any similarities or even much continuity with the first two movies, like in the trilogy, Suspiria or Inferno, but I kind of felt like it might as well have not even been directed by Dario Argento at all. Like, because I was like, where's the style? Where's, like, the operatic visuals? Where's the grand guignol? Like, you know, there was a lot of gore in Mother of Tears, which was cool, but there was no, like, pizzazz, you know, or that kind of, like, Dario Argento magic. Like, there was really none of that there. So, honestly, I don't think I've ever been so disappointed in a movie as I was about that one, even after I had specifically tried not to get my hopes up too much. So, you know, back then, 2009, whenever it was a real bummer, I'm gonna say. So then, fast forward to 2022. Literally, all I had remembered from my experience of watching Mother of Tears the first time was, one, how much I thought it sucked, and two, having a vague recollection of a woman getting impaled through the cooch. That's about all I remembered about it. So I was browsing through Tubi's horror selections the other day, and I noticed Mother of Tears scrolling by. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe it's time to revisit the movie that broke my heart so miserably back in 2009, just to see if maybe I had been too hard on it, like, all those years ago. I mean, I do like to give movies, particularly if they've been made by somebody that I'm really a big fan of, that I admire a lot, I like to give them the benefit of a second watch, like, just to make sure that, you know, maybe the first time I watched it, I wasn't, like, in a bad mood, or maybe I didn't temper my expectations correctly, or something like that. You know, and maybe that tainted my enjoyment of the movie the first time. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I couldn't remember anything about it. So I wanted to, like, give it another go. So I settled in and I was kind of, like, genuinely curious to see how this whole experiment was gonna play out. Now, I will say that, like, for the first third of the film or so, I did actually think that maybe I had been too unkind to Mother of Tears initially, like, the first time that I saw it. I mean, sure, it wasn't a great movie by any means, but since I didn't go into it with the expectation that it was going to look like Suspiria or Inferno or kind of, like, be of a theme with those movies, I already knew it wasn't going to be like that, so my expectations were a little bit different. So I could kind of like assess it on its own merits instead of immediately comparing it to those vastly superior movies. So, you know, the first third of the movie, you know, the setup is interesting. Like the opening gore sequences are like really, really brutal and actually really well done, like some good practical effects there. The score, which is by Claudio Simonetti, who did like a bunch of his scores, was decent. I mean, it wasn't as good as his earlier work, but it was like still pretty cool. But then the whole thing started to go downhill. And then I started to remember why I had disliked the film so much back in 2009. So by the time the quite ludicrous and anticlimactic third act had rolled around, I was kind of like snickering and like rolling my eyes and like shaking my head. I was just kind of like ruminating on how far the mighty had fallen, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that Mother of Tears is the worst of Dario's later films. I mean, not by a long shot. I think most people would probably agree that his worst movie is Dracula 3D from 2012. I don't think you're, like I said, again, I don't think that's at all a controversial opinion. I do think, though, that it suffers quite a bit from kind of like a lazy, messy, kind of overstuffed script, some kind of lackluster visuals, very uneven acting performances, and I'm gonna say, too, like an almost spiteful refusal to take the mythology and the legacy of the first two movies seriously. I think that was the thing that made me the angriest about the movie. I mean, there are some good elements in here, and in some ways, I'm gonna say, you know, rewatching this a second time, I liked it a little bit better than, you know, the more recent Dark Glasses, just because Mother of Tears was more entertaining in regards to like the stupidity of like some of the choices that were made, whereas Dark Glasses was mostly just kind of serviceable and like pedestrian. But overall, I kind of found myself disappointed in Mother of Tears, like, all over again, only this time with all of the added crankiness that, you know, the decade or so that's passed, like, you know, since I first saw it, like, with that added onto it. So, at the beginning of Mother of Tears, there's a construction crew, and they're working in Viterbo Cemetery. And they unearth this coffin that has, like, all these metal crosses, like, stuck all over it. And it's also topped with, like, another smaller coffin, which is just, like, a box. They call it, like, an urn. So the coffin that has the body in it is actually, like, reburied. But the urn, like, the littler box, with its, it has, like, all these unusual markings on the outside. So it gets sent to a museum in Rome, like, to be studied. Now, it's here that this object crosses paths with the assistant curator, whose name is Giselle, and an art restoration student whose name is Sarah Mandy, who's played by Asia Argento. Now, these two women, they just can't wait to dig into this weird little thing that they got sent, and they stay late at the museum to see what's in there. So inside this urn, there are three ceramic figures, like presumably representing the three mothers, I would guess. They are pretty cool. They're like little monster kind of things. There's a ceremonial dagger in there, like with a skull and a jewel and shit on it, and this like red tunic type thing that has like writing on it, like that they can't identify. Giselle calls this a talisman, but it's like a, you know, it's like a piece of clothing. So after Giselle, I think, was it Giselle or Sarah? Now I can't remember. I just saw this a couple days ago, but I can't remember that little detail. So after either Giselle or Sarah, like, conveniently cuts her finger and, like, drips blood on the box lid, Sarah actually leaves the room. She's going to go get, like, some books from the library so they can translate this whatever it is that's, like, on this, you know, garment. And when she comes back, though, she sees three hunched figures, like, and they're absolutely annihilating Giselle. I mean, the big pestle thing, like, they stick it in her mouth so it, like, fucks her mouth all up, and they're, like, disemboweling, and it's just, like, the whole fucking ball of wax. It's pretty, like, it's pretty brutal. Also, by the way, there's a baboon, for some reason, that chases Sarah, and as she's fleeing the museum, she's kind of, initially, she's trapped in there by locked doors. She's, like, kind of banging on him, like, she can't get out, but then she hears this woman's voice in her head, like, telling her to go, and at that point, like, all the doors, like, slam open by themselves, like, in a very paranormal fashion. Now, I will give points for this scene for being, like, reasonably well shot, like, intense and stuff, having some really fucked up violence. Like I said, there was, like, some good practical effects, some good gore in here. This is a very, very violent film. And finally, big props for finally featuring a female character who immediately takes off her high-heeled shoes so she can run the fuck away from the danger instead of, like, staggering around and then later taking them off. I mean, that was, like, the first thing she does. She's like, whoop, whoop, bye, you know what I mean? So I was like, points there. Yeah, I like that. Also, the monkey is rad and adorable and needs his or her own spinoff. So unsurprisingly, when Sarah tells the police what happened to Giselle, like mentioning the baboon and the three hunchback figures that she saw, she said she only saw them for a sec. She didn't say they were monsters or anything. She just said it was three hunchback figures like leaning over, like they could have been people. But that doesn't matter to the cops, because in these kind of movies, like the police are always portrayed as like these real like incompetent assholes, like either one or the other thing or both. Like the officers just kind of like smirk condescendingly at her. So they think she's either crazy and or she's the person that killed Giselle. Now they do allow her to leave though, at which point she goes to the house of the museum curator, who is also her boyfriend, whose name is Michael. He's played by Adam James, who's like a British actor, and I've seen him in a bunch of other things, but I can't remember what. He's been on like a bunch of British TV, that's for sure. And he's been in some movies too, but I can't remember where I've seen him before. So she tells him like about the weird voice that she heard that pretty much saved her life. Now, Michael, he's kind of more of a believer in the supernatural, like, whereas Sarah is very, very skeptical. So she's actually kind of more on, like, I think I might be losing my mind kind of end of the spectrum. And he's kind of like, oh, yeah, but maybe something, like, really weird and paranormal is going on. So, meanwhile, there's kind of, like, a spate of escalating savagery occurring, like, all around Rome. Like, there's guys tussling in the streets and, like, wrecking cars with bats. There's two dudes, like, shooting a cop. There's a scene where a woman takes her baby, like, out of the stroller and, like, tosses the baby over a bridge. And it, like, smacks into the abutment, like, on the way down and then, like, falls in the water. I mean, it's a pretty shocking scene because even I was like, God damn, you know what I mean? I mean, that could only be from an Italian movie. There's no way like an American filmmaker would put it that in a movie. But yeah, the Italians totally will, because they absolutely do not give a fuck. So amidst all of this unfolding chaos, Michael gets interested in like the urn and the contents and whether it was connected somehow to like Giselle's murder. So he actually goes to Viterbo, like where the cemetery was, like to talk to the Monsignor, like the guy that oversaw the original find of the urn. But it turns out that the Monsignor had a stroke, like, not too long after the urn was discovered, and he can't talk anymore. So all he can do is basically, like, pass Michael a piece of paper that has the words Mater Lacrimarum written on it, which the other priests basically think is, like, meaningless nonsense. Like, they know what it means, because it's Latin. It means, like, the Mother of Tears. But they know that, but they're just like, whatever, he's crazy. He had a stroke. So Sarah, on the other hand, is doing her own investigation over here, and she happens to meet this woman who knew her mother, whose name was Elisa. Now, Elisa is played by Asia Argento's real-life mother and longtime Dario Argento collaborator, Daria Nicolodi. Now, Elisa, the mom, supposedly died in a car crash when Sarah was a kid, but this woman, who she's talking to, whose name is Marta, tells her that Elisa was actually not killed in a car crash, but that she was actually this really powerful white witch who was murdered by Mater Suspiriorum, like, during a witch fight, like, back in the day. So during this whole sequence, there's like another helpful individual who's there, Padre Johannes, who's actually played by the inimitable Udo Kier. He mentions that Mater Suspiriorum was finally defeated by a dance student named Susie Banyan, which was a nice callback to Suspiria. And Udo Kier was also in Suspiria as well, like playing a kind of a similar like expositional role, but he's not at all like the same character as he is here. So Sarah starts to realize that the voices she's been hearing and all the weird like supernatural help that she's been receiving are pretty likely like from her dead mother. And then she further realizes that she probably has the same powers, though of course they're underdeveloped because she didn't acknowledge them before. Now, early on in the movie, though, she is able to elude capture, like, by the cops by basically, like, standing in the corner of, like, a library or bookstore or something and willing herself to be, like, invisible to onlookers. So there's that. So Sarah's paranormal gifts get confirmed not too long after that when she starts to see the apparition of her mother, like, appearing to her and telling her to do things. Now, I will say it was nice to see Daria Nicolodi again, but I kind of wish, like, the ghost effects in here weren't so damn cheesy looking. And I do wish that the dialogue that she was given wasn't so, like, real flimsy and very, very repetitive, you know what I mean? It kind of got really old. So anyway, through all of this brouhaha, like, it's established that Giselle, opening and bleeding on the urn, woke up the youngest and cruelest of the three mothers, the powerful witch, Mater Lacrimarum, the Mother of Tears, obviously. So her whole shtick is causing, like, madness, pandemonium, and despair, hence the admittedly kind of low-key crime wave that's happening around Rome. Her awakening has also drawn the attention of all the other evil witches in the world who start to flock to Rome, causing, like, they're kind of hoping to cause what the media starts calling, like, the second fall of Rome. Now, when I mentioned earlier about this movie not taking the mythology all that seriously, this aspect of the plot right here, like, with the witch gathering, that's one of the main things that I'm talking about. At one stage, Sarah sees a gaggle of these arriving witches, like, at a train station. I think it's a train station. And they look like, it just basically looks like a gang of these really loud, obnoxious, Lucky Star era Madonna cosplayers, basically. And they're just like whooping and hollering like sorority girls at a bachelorette party. And they're just kind of like shoving people out of their way, like bullies in an 80s John Hughes movie. It's like, I almost expect him to go like, nerds, you know what I mean? It kind of like came across like that. Like, they're not frightening, they're not sinister in any way. And I'm really kind of like mystified as to why Dario Argento like chose to portray them that way, because they don't like seem like they pose a threat at all. I mean, other than to the eardrums of people that are like closest to them, because they're constantly like whooping and yelling. Now, I did enjoy the one sequence where there was one witch who was chasing Sarah, like, onto a train, and she kind of, like, falls, and then, like, Sarah, like, smushes her head, like, in this sliding bathroom door. Like, I thought that was, like, pretty funny. But that's kind of, like, emblematic of what I mean, though. Like, just how terrifying and powerful can a witch be when you can basically just, like, slam her head in the door of the nearest shitter and, like, make her eyeball pop out? You know what I mean? It's like, she doesn't seem like she's posing any threat, you know? So, anyway, like, various other things happen. Like, both the witches and the cops are pursuing Sarah while her ghost mom keeps like popping out and like telling her what to do. Michael's son gets abducted and killed, presumably, by the witches, though this isn't shown, even though the movie's absolutely not shy about showing little kids getting killed otherwise. Michael, I think, also gets killed off screen, but then comes back as like kind of a zombie type of situation before disappearing from the film altogether. Udo Kier later gets his face turned into hamburger with a cleaver, so that's nice. Marta and her girlfriend get horribly, brutally murdered. Marta by having her spear like shoved up her vag, which was, like I said, the only scene that I remember like from the first time that I watched it. There's a scene where a mom eats her little boy, so there's that. And then at last, there's the big confrontation between Sarah and Mater Lacrimarum and the witch coven down in these like catacombs. But I have to say, it's literally one of the lamest, like, final battles in cinema history. Basically, all Sarah has to do to defeat the witch is pull off her magic flash dance tunic with a spear, and she dies. You know what I mean? She's just like, ah, like, I'm defeated, I'm melting. You know what I mean? It's just kind of, it's that kind of thing. And, like, at least, like, throwing water on the witch, I mean, that seemed a little lame, too. But you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's just, I can't. I really don't understand. Here's the thing. I don't really understand, like, why so much time was invested on Sarah developing her white witchcraft powers if she wasn't going to fight the Mother of Tears at the end with, you know, witchcraft. I mean, I thought that that's what it was building up to. I mean, is it implied that she was, like, the only person who could have bested the witch by literally just taking her top off, because that's basically what she did? Or could anyone have done that at any time? And like I said, you know, that means the witch isn't all that powerful, you know what I mean? I'll note too that the few times that we see the Mother of Tears, like prior to this last confrontation, she actually isn't wearing the tunic. She's actually wearing this black sheer hooded robe thing, like with one boob exposed. I think it's on some of the posters and like the DVD cover art. There are lots and lots and lots of boobs in this movie, by the way. I mean, not that I'm complaining, they're all nice boobs and everything, but, I mean, so if you like looking at boobs, like, and really nice boobs and stuff like that, then that's, you know, a point in the movie's favor, because there are a lot of boobs in it. So, after the witch and all her followers perish, basically, having staged evidently the only attempted satanic world takeover that hinged solely on a single person wearing a shirt... I can't get past that. So after that happens, like, Sarah and one of the cops, Enzo, who had actually been hostile to her and had been chasing her before this, but I guess now that he saw the witch shit, like, he believes her, but he was barely in the movie otherwise, so I'm not really sure why he gets to be, like, the adjunct final girl. You would have thought that it would have been her boyfriend, but whatever. So they climb through this, you know, admittedly, like, pretty yucky and gross-looking, like, series of tunnels, like, in the catacombs that have, like, all these dead bodies and this lumpy corpse juice, you know, so that's pretty gross. And then they climb out of, like, a manhole and into the morning or whatever, into what is very, very clearly a green screened city backdrop. I mean, it's very, very bad green screen. So then they like sit there in the street and just like laugh hysterically, and then the credits roll. And I'm like, all right, okay, that's how you want to end your movie? All right. All right. Now, I mean, okay, I know that it sounds like I'm completely shitting all over the movie here, and I mean, I kind of am. I admit that. But as I mentioned, it does have some good things about it. The kills and the gore are great. I mean, they're really violent, very creative, very fucked up, especially the stuff involving, like, babies and kids. But people get killed in, like, really gross, like, creative ways, which is nice. The first act of the movie, well, it's not amazing or anything like that, but it's pretty engaging. Like, it gets you interested in this escalating mystery. Like, I like witches, and I like kind of that whole, you know, mythological kind of, like, aspect to it. So that part is good. But then it just all starts falling apart. Like, the witches are not intimidating or scary at all. They just kind of seem like a bunch of silly, like cackling teenagers, like trying to look like edgy mid-2000s scene kids, you know what I mean? The special effects having to do with Sarah's mom look pretty cheesy, like pretty cheap. And to be honest, like Ghost Mom doesn't really have all that much meaningful information to give, even when she does show up. There's even a scene where the mom like tells Sarah, I don't have any more time, I can't talk to you again. But then literally like the next scene, she pops back in and like tells her shit like she never even said that last thing. I'm just like, okay, whatever. There was also like the whole final battle that I alluded to earlier, which was resolved like way too easily, especially after all this buildup about Sarah kind of finding out the truth about her mom and about her own supernatural powers and all that stuff. And I'm going to say, too, that like while the cinematography here is fine, it isn't anything special. It doesn't have any of the kind of like surreal, nightmarish, like super color saturated, like glamour and that stylish kind of look to it like the first two films did, which made them just like this beautiful eye candy. I mean, the movie, it basically looks like it could have been directed and shot by anyone. I think the cinematography on here was not the one that he used to work with like back in the day. I think it was the same guy that shot Do You Like Hitchcock, which was one of his like TV movies. So it looks very workmanlike. It looks very pedestrian. It doesn't look like anything like fantastical. Also, I mean, the acting isn't that all that great, like across the board. I mean, several characters are like overreacting or underreacting. I mean, I've seen Asia Argento in particular like do some good acting work, but she's kind of like uneven here. I feel like in some scenes she's decent, and then like in other ones she comes across as like very awkward or just like not good. So, I mean, I think the concept and like the story of the movie is a good concept, and it would have been like a good follow-up. I think it's just like the execution of it that's lacking, that really like lets it down. Personally, if it was me, and I realize I'm not making this movie, but I'm just saying, personally, if it was me, I would have dropped the whole witch gathering subplot and just made it so that Mater Lacrimarum herself was the one like causing all the destruction, because I think that would have made her seem like much more powerful, much more villainous, you know what I mean? Like she was like the biggest threat because it was just her. Like she didn't need all these, you know, cackling minions. I would have also had her not talk. She doesn't talk all that much in the movie, but I think that like really undercut her scariness, which she wasn't very scary to start with. I would have kept her more in the shadows. She could still be sexy and beautiful like she was in the movie. And honestly, like for the original, like Thomas De Quincey, like Lavanna and Our Lady of Sorrows, that is how Mater Lacrimarum is described, like as very, very young and beautiful. So that totally tracks like with the original source material. So you could have her be sexy and beautiful, but I think that she should have been, like I would have made her much creepier and like more threatening and not shown her as much. And like I said, not have her talking, like make her more mysterious. I didn't actually mind like the whole revelation of Sarah's white witch powers, because it kind of had a thing where it was like witch versus witch. I like that. But I think I would have just like abandoned the whole mom apparition angle. Maybe just have her mom like communicate her like in some other way. Like, you know, it could even be a supernatural way, like through a medium or through some other kind of like ghostly messages, like she leaves messages or something like that. I think that would have worked out better, so you didn't have that cheesy ghost effect. Also, obviously, I would have beefed up the big face-off like between Sarah and the Mother of Tears at the end, making it revolve more around magic and less around, you know, a simple disrobing, which, you know, was admittedly a little wah-wah, you know what I mean? It was just kind of like that. But, you know, those are just some meaningless suggestions from some random horror lover on the internet, so, you know, feel free to please disregard any of these ideas. So that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. Have you seen Mother of Tears? What did you think about it? What is your favorite Dario Argento movie? Please tell me down in the comments, and I'll see you guys again on the next one. Bye.